now we go on to the draft city limits publications policy. I know that in one of our forums we've had some discussions about this, but there may be more discussions. Councillor Valescu, I was going to... were you going to move, or...?
I was going to move an option.
Okay. Page 74.
Your Worship, I'll move option two. We keep the same number of pages, so there's no extra costs, and that all elected members have a column each edition. It's three times a year. It is something that give everybody an equal opportunity to talk about relevant issues, to talk with their community. No doubt there are other ways that people are talking with their community, but this is particularly important for those people that don't have the funds to put out their own newsletters, people that don't have access, the community that doesn't have access to Facebook. And I guess also coming from the council, there is some legitimacy to the correspondence, but also we do have a whole lot of other things that are offered, other information. And it should be information and some clarification, but not so much spin. And I think that has been reduced. You know, it's not about the prevailing narrative. It's about information that suits the community. And I think that's important. And I do mention the elected members column, because that's the only thing that changes in any of these. And for members that are new to council, previously we actually reduced and changed the city limits format to save money, and we still are not charging any extra money for any of these options.
Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling, thank you. Did you wish to speak?
Yeah, I'm happy to second this motion. This would have been the motion that I would have moved as well. And in the section, I have page 78, but I think other members have a different version. It clearly states that elected members that do not have a column will have their contact details mentioned, and I think that that meets all the criteria for me.
Thank you, and apologies. I've got what I think is a corrected agenda, and there were four pages added or subtracted just in the last day or two. So I'm very sorry if I'm giving you page numbers which are four pages out. That's the reason why. Councillor Crossland?
Just a question, and it may be that it's an option never looked at, but if the ward members wanted to do one column jointly, and instead of 200 words separately did a joint column of 400 words, so same amount of space, would that be an option that would be allowed under this option two?
Who would like to answer that? Mr. Clark? And?
Ms. Tweed.
Through the Chair, that option hasn't been considered, but if members wish to do so, they're more than welcome to.
So the question was that if we go with option two, that flexibility of having that option remains?
Yes.
Councillor Clancy.
I'm just wondering, with councillors having speaking or writing every single edition, how many pages does that take up of the 24 pages?
Through the Chair, it takes up a total of 5 pages out of 24.
Well, if there are no other contributors, Councillor Telfer?
I'll speak against it because to take up 5 pages out of 24. The stats are that 2% of the community that read this actually read our columns. So I think to have 5 pages taken up for 2% readership is quite low. That's the reality. So if this fails, I'll go for option three.
And can I clarify, the 5 pages, Mr. Clark, is that compared to 3 pages and 1 page compared with the other two options, or?
Through the chair. Yeah, so option two is a total of 5 pages, which is the mayor's column and 4 for elected members. Yeah. So the others would, the first one would be a total of 4 pages. Option one.
And what about option three?
Option two would leave 16 pages, which would be... That's right. So, yes, thank you, Ms. Clark. So option three would be the normal set of pages. So there's in option three, there's only the... sorry, I'm a mental blank. Yeah, you just...
Can somebody answer, please?
Yeah. Sorry, Your Worship, through the chair. So option three, there'll be no changes at all for two editions. So you'd have a full 24 pages of news for two editions of the for the year. And the third edition would have columns by all the elected members. So it would just be 5 pages of columns, leaving just 16 pages for news in that final edition of the year.
Whatever. Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Hull?
I will, Mr. Mayor, on the basis that this is the only opportunity we've got to communicate with the people that we represent, unless we pay for it ourselves, of course. Some people during the last election took it upon themselves to pay for material to represent me, which was interesting in itself, and still being investigated. But I just think that thinking about all the discussions that have happened over the years, we talked about what other councils are doing with their ward forums. Mitcham have ward forums, so that's an opportunity, not so much in a literary sense, but in an engagement sense, to actually to engage with the community. In overseas, in England, they call it surgery. They'll have a surgery with their community. We don't do that. And we've also talked in the past about ward bulletins that never happened. Lots and lots of discussion about how we can better engage with our community. But none of it's come to light because we've moved on. There's an agenda. You know, we move on because there's other things to discuss. But this is the rare opportunity where we can discuss how we relate with our community and engage as individuals. And I'm a bit reluctant to actually vote against the opportunity to do this because I think in the scale of things it's fairly modest. When you think about the organised opportunity for us to engage with our communities. Now, the Mayor has a lot of opportunities. You only got to read the mayoral report about all the engagements he has. So he has many opportunities to actually engage with broadly across the city. But we don't have those same opportunities. So I just think we should probably run with this. I don't know how we actually come to the figures we did about the 2%. But I can tell you that if I write something controversial in there that people don't like, I hear from that 2% and some. So, I think that we can keep an open mind about the readership and people talking about what we write. Because I think it's healthy for the council to be able to express our personal views about how we're going on the council, and I hope that there's no intentions to overly sanitise what we're going to write. Obviously, we've got to be careful about defamation and all those other things, but there should be a degree of reality about reasonable expressions of views about the state of the council, as it were, in terms of what we write. So that's my view, Mr. Mayor. I think we'll continue on. I do agree with Councillor Blurskill on this occasion.
Anyone else speaking against? And I'll give it the mover a chance to respond. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. No, beg your pardon. Beg your pardon, Councillor Telfer. That was carried by a majority. Thank you. We move on to page 80 or 84, somewhere in that range. The Equity, Access and Social Inclusion Policy. Right, who'd like to move that? Councillor Masika. Go ahead.
Through the chair, I would like to move that the policy draft to be accepted. It is well presented and is in line with the State Government Act and the Federal Government, Commonwealth Government Act. It is not contravening. And the objectives are very clear, and the intent of this policy is very clear. So I'd like to move to be accepted.
Thank you. Sometimes in the chamber we say, I move the motion as printed, as a shorthand for the motion that staff have prepared, but I knew exactly what you meant. That was very clear. Is that seconded? Question first, Councillor Crossland.
Question to staff. In light of our last motion, we've contradicted it now in the policy section with elected member contributions, because it says in there about what we'll have in the city limits, and it's saying that contributions, ward councillors' contributions, will appear in alternate column in alternate editions, I thought, which is now we've said we will appear in every edition. So 3.19, or is that referring to some other column that elected members write?
The policy that I have doesn't have a 3.19.
What have I got? Is that not included in what we're talking about?
We're now on the Equity, Access and Social Inclusion Policy. Next item.
I thought it was all one.
No, I think it must. All I think it's document. This four pages thing. Some people are four pages ahead of the others.
What page are we on?
Well, you could take your pick. 80 or 84? Or 83, I'll take.
83 is the beginning of the report. Oh, I was on 80. Hang on.
Yeah, no, just flick a couple of pages. I'll look to the chamber for a seconder. Councillor Valescu, you wish to add anything? Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Very well crafted by staff, I thought. We've dealt with Mitchell Park, so that's going to jump us a few pages through the agenda. Ah, yes, thank you. Page 125, possibly 128, around there. Questions taken on notice register. There's actually one there from the Mayor. That must be very important. Councillor Telfer, seconded by Councillor Pryor. Thank you. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we're on to a motion with notice from Councillor Hull. A meet the candidate forum. I won't make any comment. Councillor Hull, go ahead.
The motion reads, just prior to the next general council election, council facilitates and funds a public meet the candidates forum in a suitable all-weather venue as part of a broader strategy to provide voter response and general election candidate awareness. Mr. Mayor, there was demand during the last election for that. Admittedly, it was evolved around one particular issue, but that's how local government rolls sometimes. But putting that to one side, particularly when there was a mayoral election as well, which creates even more importance, as you can imagine, Mr. Mayor, to the election, there was genuine curiosity by many people about who the candidates were. They were aware that the City of Mitcham ran such an event that I'm suggesting. They were aware the City of Holthouse Bay also held a similar event. And in fact, in years gone by, the City of Marion has run such events. During an election process, people receive lots of material in the post from candidates, but it's so much better to actually see and hear those people articulate themselves to an audience. And that's what people really have a desire to do. And I just think that it's a small contribution that we can make to at least offer to the community that opportunity to meet the candidate. So it only comes around once every 4 years. In state and federal politics, there's those opportunities are actually organised as well. The hall at I remember going to the Salvation Army Hall as an example, and hearing the various candidates give a presentation and answer questions, and that's healthy. I think that's healthy for people to make informed decisions about who they vote for. I think that we run a risk of candidates nominating sometimes without even a photograph, with a fairly bland, almost off-the-shelf 150 words, and not really knowing. Now, having an event like this just allows people to have a more informed decision that they can actually make. That could either work for or against you, and it's really up to your capacity as a candidate as to whether you can actually get value out of such an event if you were a candidate. So I think it speaks for itself, and it's over to the members.
Thank you. Look, it's a wonderful opportunity for firebrand populist manipulative politics, I think. So,
excuse me, Mr. Mayor, that's out of order.
I was supporting it.
It didn't sound like it, not at all.
Oh, I uphold the point of order, and I extract myself from the debate.
Well, you have your
You're
opportunity.
Quite right.
You can have your opportunity, but to cut me down like that is really inappropriate.
Point of order is upheld against the Mayor. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Clancy.
I support this motion. I was quite disappointed that I didn't have the opportunity to speak at a forum and get questions, engage the community's response a bit more to their issues that concern them. I do understand there was an issue with a special interest group running the event, and I'm not sure if I can ask a question here as well, but why didn't the council organise their own independent forum like other councils did?
Well, I suppose the short answer is it's in the hands of the members. Administration won't do it of their own volition. The previous council could have authorised such a forum. They didn't. And I suppose that's what Councillor Hull's trying to address now. Ms. McKenzie, anything else?
Through the Chair, we haven't held sessions like this in the last 10 years since I've been here. I think the main reason being is that we've tried to, I guess, stay out of the politics. We've left it up to the candidates to do their own campaigning. They can get quite heated at times, so they can... So, for example, I know with the other councils, Mitcham actually paid for a facilitator to come in. It would be really inappropriate for staff to facilitate them on the basis that they are often political debates. So I think that's why we've probably steered clear of them over the last couple of election cycles.
Right. Did you please continue, Councillor Clancy? Okay. Anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Schilling?
Look, I'm against this motion because I don't think it's Council's responsibility to fund a forum for candidates. If we run for an election, it's our responsibility to engage voters. That's what I did at the last campaign. But, for example, I went to a candidate forum in Onkaparinga to support a friend. There were more candidates than there were residents. And I think that could happen here, so I don't support this motion.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Then I'll give the Councillor Valescu.
Well, did we have anything like this within the City of Marion? Are there other ways to facilitate this sort of meet the candidate opportunity? Has there been anything in the past, in the last election?
Well, Ms. McKenzie was saying there's nothing in the last 10 years or so. Other managers can't recall earlier than that.
Just to clarify, in regards to, is associations or anything like that, any other places like that that have run them, separate to council?
I know of one particular group that acted in that way last year, but mm-hmm. I won't comment. I won't get into the debate.
Through the chair, there was other groups that did either attempt or did hold their own forums, and that is completely up to those individual groups if they want to facilitate those discussions. And I think that has happened in previous years as well when there's been hot topics. You know, they may invite the candidates along to debate what their position is on a particular topic, but that's completely separate from anything that we would do from an administrative point of view.
Anything further, Councillor Valescu? Well, that's something you can take up after the meeting. Let's keep moving forward. Any other speakers in favour? Then we did have a speaker against, so I'll leave it to Councillor Hull to close the debate.
Well, Mr. Mayor, as I understand it, Onkaparinga certainly did have a lot of interest in their election, more so than local government probably deserved. I'm not sure what meeting Councillor Schilling went to, but I know the TV cameras went to some. Maybe not the one that Councillor Schilling went to. But look, you know, councils around Adelaide have been doing this. This is not a left field thing I'm talking about. I remember a council over on the eastern suburbs using known celebrities to host those events because that known celebrity radio personality felt that it was important that there was that community engagement. That's why she did it for nothing, just to encourage being active and being engaged in that. And don't we know that local government elections need this? Our voter turnout is still crap. Why wouldn't we support this tonight on the mere mission to actually increase voter turnout, create more awareness about the election?
Councillor, the purpose of the address in reply is to respond to issues raised during the debate. You were doing that earlier, but you're now introducing fresh information. That's not really the purpose of it. Carry on. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Lost by majority. Division's called by Councillor Hull. All those in favour, please stand in your place. Those in favour are Councillors Clancy and Hull. You may sit down. Those against are Councillors Pfeiffer, Masika, Valescu, Pryor, Telfer, Schilling, Duncan, Gard and Crossland. I declare the motion lost. So page 120-something, maybe 130-something, requirement for developers to install a builder's pole for electricity supply, Councillor Hull. And bearing in mind, Councillor, if the motion is passed, you might want to amend that to, and you're going to bring up a written amendment about sending her off to the LGA, if you wish. So, Councillor Hull's bringing up something. We'll have that typed up, put it on the screen. But, Councillor Hull, you can begin. I'll probably wait for you to get back to your chair before the 3 minutes begins. So. Okay, time begins now.
Mr. Mayor, I've fleshed that out more. The recommendation by administration was that we simply write to the minister to ask him to include that in the legislation to actually have power to the site. Now, to be fair, that didn't really meet the concerns that I had about the noise. It could have meant that their power would have gone to the site and they would have put their boom box in it, which is another issue with building sites, or their refrigerated esky plugged into it. It meant nothing really. What happened was a resident rang me and said, look Bruce, I live in Warradale and for a number of years now our street's being transformed and we're the last man standing in terms of our home, and they've built behind us and he's put up with the noise with that. They've built across the road and put up with the noise with that. They're building next door now, and the reality is that a lot of these builders do not play by the rules. They get there early, 5 o'clock in the morning, or they might finish late. They may be there on Sundays, and no matter how much they remonstrate to council, these people get away with it. And we're talking about nail guns, we're talking about compressors, because in order to use the nail guns, you've got to have a compressor with compressed air to drive the nail gun. Now, there is, if you had power pole to the site, you would not need the compressor. You can have electric tools that are much quieter, and you don't need a generator on the site, because if you've got power to the site, you don't need the generator, and essentially you can reduce a lot of the noise. There may be nothing you can do about the boombox, which tends to blare out across the building site day long, but it will reduce a lot of the noise. Now, a lot of these people are elderly people that are not going to work, they're home most of the time, or in the case of the caller, that was the case, or it could be if you're a shift worker, say if you're a police officer or a nurse, an AMBO, fireman, and you're on night shift, and you've got that going all day long. But the point that I'm making, Mr. Mayor, is the amount of building we're having in our area. We all know how much one house comes down, three or four go up. Our suburbs are being transformed. If it was a green field site, you won't have the problem because there's no people living there. But this is actually a brownfield site where people are trying to live there during major construction all around them. So maybe...
Look, I think when we do write to the Minister...
No, to clarify, Councillor Hull
I just saw it as an opportunity that the Local Government Association is seeking a motion. Well, we could go after them as well.
All right, but sorry, the motion on the screen, is that your motion, Councillor?
That's it.
Right, thank you. Sorry, Councillor Valesco, go ahead.
I'm happy to do that, but I guess I would like some caveat in regards to in built-up areas, because if this is out in the country, they may not be able to put an electric pole. They'll need a generator. I'm just wondering if that could be added, prohibited in built-up areas.
Yeah, that's right.
Metropolitan?
Metropolitan areas, yeah.
That's the usual sort of distinction. Councillor Hull, did you want it to go to the LGA as well?
Well, there's an opportunity tonight. We can just send that off as one of our motions for the...
Well, we won't happen actually unless you specify that. Otherwise, it's just the letter to the Minister. Just letting you know.
Well, okay. To the LGAs, what are they called? The annual meeting?
Yep. So you've got... And the LGA. Just ask Ms. McKenzie, is that sufficient? Yeah, okay, good. So we've got Metropolitan in there. So you were seconding, Councillor, with that. Is the mover happy to incorporate that? I think you've said yes, Councillor Hull. Anything further, Councillor Lescu?
Yeah, look, this issue has been brought up with me, and I think sometimes the frustration and concern people have about subdivision, the noise associated with the buildings for the subdivisions they don't agree with, rubs salt in the wounds. I believe a resident told me this is something that does happen interstate, that they don't allow generators, and I'm glad that Councillor Hull has changed the motion to make it metropolitan-wide, because if we had one rule for the City of Marion and one rule for everybody else, it would make it unworkable for people in the building industry.
Question from Councillor Pfeiffer.
Yeah, thank you, Worship. Look, I just don't quite feel armed well enough with information for me to make a decision. For example, what I don't know is, in regard to builders' poles, are there any either national or state regulations regarding safety of builders' poles? And that was my first question. And second question, in regard to the compressors, now I know obviously nail guns are often used with a compressor, but what other compressed air tools are often used on a building site? I don't know whether there's other compressed air tools that are required on a building site. And I just...
All right. Ms Dixon's pretty handy with a set of tools. We'll ask her. Ms Dixon, what do you say?
Through the Chair, I'll just need to refer to the comments that describes, use of generators, compressors and other noisy tools and machinery on building sites. So, I mean, under the current situation, we've got powers under the Local Nuisance and Litter Control Act, where it restricts, well, it puts a time frame so that work can occur between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. from Monday to Saturday. Should we become aware that people are contravening that, we've got powers to serve notice around that as well. And in regards to the safety, I would think should there be move to change the Planning Act, it would be a requirement that that infrastructure meet all safety standards.
Anything more from Councillor Pfeiffer? Anyone speaking against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? I'm going to just call the vote again, and I really want you to raise your hands high. It's sometimes very difficult when people have their hand lying on the table. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Those against, please raise your hand. That's lost. So we'll move on. We're now dealing with the New Start Allowance. Councillor Hull. $133, I'm told. I'm hearing that you were emailed this morning, but other councillors, I don't think, have received it. And you're not the only one. I know another councillor told me that email was off today, off sick. That was me, and I regret the fact that I never have enough time to explain when these LGA matters are called on at council meetings what I voted on and why. Happy to enlighten you now if you wish. And thank you, Councillor, for acknowledging the Mayor's position, which has been consistent the last 4 years, that we shouldn't be advocates in areas that aren't within our jurisdiction. And that's completely beside the point whether I agree or disagree with the particular policy. If we start down that track, I've always been concerned that we could fill up another 3 hours an evening on all of the social ills that we would like to see addressed. But thanks for that acknowledgement. Is the motion seconded? Well, give it the last call. Is there any seconder? Otherwise the motion lapses. All right, the motion lapses for want of a seconder. We'll move on to the next item, Quentin Kenahan Memorial. Councillor Valescu. Yes. Well, that'll be a very long night. Okay. Is that seconded? Councillor Schilling? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So, Councillor Hull to move. And I note that Councillor Valescu and myself have come up with alternative wording. So, that'll be presented to you after Councillor Hull's had the opportunity to move. Please go ahead.
But at the end of the day, this is about, it should be, the focus should be the pump track, it should be Quentin Kinahan, it should be him as an individual and the contribution he made, and the fact that he should not really be considered as a, along with the other donors, on a planter box. That's my strong view, Mr. Mayor.
That's all very well. I would simply ask that elected members be shown the other two alternative motions, and then we can resume.
But wouldn't you seek a second or first before we start talking about amendments?
Well, it makes sense for elected members to see what the options are on the table. That's my view.
Yeah,
so
but normally you'd move an amendment, not try and preempt a motion.
It's if you're confident in what you've put, Councillor, there's nothing to fear from having a look at alternative motions. It is unusual because there are therefore at least three of us who think there should be some tribute to Quentin Kinahan, but it's a matter of how we do it, and obviously there are further alternatives than simply those that have been put forward by staff.
Is this going to be a normal practice?
Well, no, and there'll be no more interruptions, Councillor, if you want to stay in the room.
Well, I see this as an interruption in itself.
Order. You're on a warning. I will ask for you to be thrown out if you're going to persist with this. Perhaps you want to be.
Don't point the pen at me, please.
Well, it's time that you actually paid some respect to the chair. Is there a seconder? Yes, questions? Councillor Clancy.
Could tell me what involvement Quentin had, if he made financial contributions, if he gained financial contributions, what part he played in the development of that park. I was also wondering if council, the park's in my area, I've never seen Quentin in my area before. I was wondering if he was a member of Marion Council.
Ms. Dixon.
Through the chair, he did play a role in being an ambassador for the project and promoting it as an inclusive playground. From my knowledge, there was no financial contribution from Mr. Kinahan, unless staff have further information.
Just going to hear from Ms. Masterman, who was closer to the process.
Through the chair, Quentin Kinahan, through Ian Kisok, who was his carer, runs Captain Black Eye, and they held events to raise funds towards the development of the reserve.
Councillor Clancy, anything else?
And just was he ever a resident of Marion Council?
Through the chair, we're not aware of it.
So are these questions? Councillor Crossland first.
Good question, Your Worship, and again, I'm not sure who may be able to answer this, but my understanding was he was an Adelaide resident, and Adelaide Council are actually providing a memorial for him, so the job's already been done.
That is true. He ran for Adelaide Council in the recent council election, so from that, there was some evidence that he might have been an Adelaide City resident.
But I also understood that the council had already proposed and had agreed to a memorial for him in Adelaide.
What detail do we have of the Adelaide City Memorial?
Through the chair, they have endorsed doing a memorial. I'm not sure if we know any more details about the extent of it.
Through the chair, the inclusive playground that they're in the process of planning at the moment with some state government funding is to be named the Quentin Kinahan Inclusive Playground.
I know the appropriate minister, the Honourable Michelle Lensink, is quite keen on that proposal. Councillor Gard.
Unquestionably, Your Worship, Mr. Kinahan's was a very worthy member of our public. and particularly given his situation. I, however, am very sensitive about such memoria because...
Councillor, just with respect, is it a question?
It is a question.
Yes, thank you.
Because we do have an issue that I think we are grappling with at the moment on hierarchical consideration of various people in our community that have contributed in a hierarchy of ways. I would hate there to be embarrassment on the part of someone that we may have overlooked of similar stature, and so I feel reticent to vote in favour of this recommendation until we have that policy in place, but that's not to say. So is there a policy in place as yet that would govern the situation?
Through the Chair, we do have a memorial policy and procedure which is usually applied when people approach us to want to fund their own memorial in one of Council's reserves or parks. So that can be a plaque on a seat, it could be a planting of a tree, so it could be a range of things. So we have that. When that occurs, it's different to this situation where it's a resident or an organisation approaching council, and we apply that policy and procedure, and that's at their cost.
Right. Councillor Gard, further?
Just in response to that, but do we actually have a have we addressed the hierarchical aspect of it? In other words, the degree of service to match the degree of recognition on a memoriam?
Through the Chair, the policy doesn't go into that detail. It does go into detail into the extent of the memorial, so no more than two plaques per seat, that sort of thing, but not that hierarchical of that person's contribution.
Questions, Councillor Crossland? You've got maximum three questions.
Yeah, look, this is, I know what Councillor Gard is addressing. We've got I don't know if all members are aware, but recently we renamed a reserve in honour of a lady who'd done a lot of volunteering within council. That's spurred on other people now starting to request renaming reserves. In our ward, we've been grappling with a similar request for renaming a playground or a reserve or a piece of equipment or installing a stone, etc., at council expense. But there is no actual policy of whether we support those people or not at this stage. Is that correct? So if someone comes to council, it's a general council resolution for each person that asks for this type of situation.
So through the Chair, so the policy gives the authority to the unit manager of open space and operations. So should it meet the policy criteria, we work with that resident who's made that request for whether it's a plaque on a seat or a planting of a tree, and that is under at their expense. Obviously the unit manager has that delegated authority, and council also retains the right to remove it, should it deteriorate over time, etc.
In summary, our memorial policy is essentially not merit based. Any member of the community or family or such may want to provide a memento to their loved one or someone they respected, and that's the thrust of that particular policy. It doesn't deal with past councillors, public advocates and the like. And quite possibly that's something that may need to be addressed if we've started down that track. But that, to be fair, that is separate to this debate, but it's a point that's well raised. Ms. Dixon?
Through the Chair, if I can add to that, I would recommend that we do review that. Having reviewed this evening, because I had some queries from elected members, I think it could be tightened, particularly some criteria of what you want to have a memorial in as well. So I think it would be prudent for us to revise and bring back to Council at a future date.
Okay, so is that the point where calling for a seconder to the whole motion? Last chance for a seconder, or it lapses. If it lapses, then members may wish to look at the alternatives. Councillor Bilescu?
Question. Of the alternatives, which one would work best as far as the administration and possibly just to fit in with what's already there? I ask that because mine's basically saying we're allowing no cost for this part of our memorial policy, and yours, Your Worship, says we'll just add it in as part of the donors, and it looks like there was some fundraising done as well. So I'm just wondering which one sort of works better from an administrative point of view, and if there's any other considerations as well.
Well, Councillor, can I just clarify, when you say better, do you mean aesthetically? Do you mean in keeping with other names or the equipment? I think it really needs clarification to be fair on staff.
From process as well, from a process point of view, and how it fits in with how we've done things previously, and what other donors may expect. So.
All right. Ms. Masterman, thanks.
Through the Chair, all of the donors that made a donation of $1,000 or more are represented on the plaques that are on the planting beds. So donations that were less than that have not been acknowledged on those planting beds. It may create some confusion. I'm trying to think if there is one for Captain Black Eye on there. I can't off the top of my head. With the alternative one, if there was a bronze plaque, we'd have to just look at where the best place within the park and the seat would be to actually place that. But there is room on some of the planter boxes should you wish to go down that path.
The question, what's the cost for the planter boxes?
That one I have to take on notice. I do know the price for the brass plaques and the other concepts, but not the planter box tonight.
All right. Any estimate, whether it be more or less than a plaque? Or?
Look, I'd say it would be less than $500.
Now, final call for a seconder. Then I declare that motion lapsed. Would any member like to move either of the remaining two motions, Councillor Bilescu?
In keeping with the memorial policy, I think the fact that there was an advocate for this facility that's broadly loved in the area, and also the fact that there probably is some expectation because the family has been contacted by staff before a motion actually has gone either way. I think this is probably having a plaque on one of the chairs in consultation with the family fits in with our policy if we do wish to provide a small memorial, but I wouldn't want anything just cost too much money because we're better off putting that money on practical things for kids with disabilities.
Right, you finished? Yep. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Gard, wish to speak? Anyone speaking against? Councillor Crossland?
I'm speaking against. It doesn't meet our policy because the policy is that the family pay for the plaque, not council. So that's not our policy. And I'm not sure we should be doing... It's difficult enough to do memorials that council pay for residents that have done great things in our community. I think if we start including everyone in the entire world, I think we've got a lot of these discussions to come up. So I think we should actually review the policy and then make some decisions because we obviously haven't got a very good tight policy at the moment.
Anyone else speaking in favour? Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, I've got to say that I view this whole circumvention of the reasonable tribute to this great South Australian as mean-spirited. I can't see it any other way.
You're speaking in favour of the motion?
No, I'm speaking in favour of the motion.
Oh, OK. Carry on. That's fine.
Like, to suggest that we don't even do that, like, you know, this is not the ultimate motion for me. Don't get me wrong for 1 minute. But to actually have even the suggestion of doing the plaque now is abhorrent. even that's bad enough, and I'm actually speaking in favour of the motion with some reluctance, but to even the suggestion that he doesn't get any mention at all is just beyond the pale. You know, to have him lumped in just as an anybody is an atrocious reflection on him and his contribution, which was a lifelong contribution to this. You know, the fact that is the problem that he was associated with Touched by Olivia. Is that what the problem is, that he's some way tarnished by that association? I hope not. I hope not, because obviously, you know, for those who were around in the last term, you would know the history of that. In itself was disturbing, but you know, this would be just. We're talking about $2,000, and it's just an acknowledgement of a man that was disabled, that pushed for something that was built in our city, and it's not too much to ask for. I really don't get it. For him to end up with a brass plaque really sticks in my throat, to be quite frank. And I just don't think that we actually acknowledge and empower people that have actually made contributions in our city enough. And this is a great case in question. Sure, they're going to build a playground in the city of Adelaide, and they'll probably name it after him, but he'll never see it. He saw this one. He was there. He was at the opening. He had a personal involvement with this. He'll never actually have a personal involvement, apart from his lobbying effort of the cause, with the one in the city of Adelaide. That's the difference. That's the point that's been lost here tonight. And I'm really upset about it.
Now, I appreciate your strong feelings about the issue, Councillor Hull, and it's a delicate matter to talk about any memorial, but I must take issue on behalf of Councillor Crossland and perhaps others in relation to your comment about mean-spirited. That has to be rejected, because the comments that were made against the motion were based on the motion being inconsistent with our policy. Now, that's a matter of reason. It is actually something that is an argument that's used every month of the year, one place or another. So it should not be characterised as mean-spirited, and Councillor Crossland could have taken open umbrage at that. He chose not to, probably because of the delicacy of the debate. So I reject that part of the debate, but otherwise I appreciate all of the other points you made and how strongly you feel. Now, is there anyone else speaking against the debate, against the motion? No, well, I'll leave it to the mover to close the debate in reply.
Yeah, Your Worship, I would like to see more of these facilities for people with varying levels of ability, with kids with varying levels of ability, and I think we're better off putting the time and effort and the money into the actual facilities. And you know, I think a recognition that through our memorial policy is, through that mechanism, is the most appropriate one, considering that Quentin is going to be honoured with a park in his honour, paid for by the state government and council of the City of Adelaide. And I think that's a fair assessment. And it puts us in a difficult position, because somebody puts up a motion with an idea, and if we don't support it, you know, we're put in an awkward spot, and the family has been contacted, put in an awkward spot. I actually worked with Quentin, and he filmed a pilot for an idea that we had. You know, it was and see him in town, and you know, it was cool, and it was very. I grew up with him when he'd tell off Bob Hawke on his policies, and he's very sort of. But he's going to be recognised in a very big way, and if we're going to recognise him, I think this is an appropriate way, because I think that $2,000 can actually have a positive impact on kids with disabilities in our area.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand clearly. Those against, raise your hand. That motion is carried by majority. So we'll move on. Hendry Street Reserve and Jervois Street Reserve, page 140 to you, I think. Councillor Valescu, to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. This is an issue that was brought up to me, by residents. We've got a park in Hendry Street which is got a fence around it, and it's got a playground, and dogs are allowed in that playground off leash. And there was concerns because a lot of the people using that park may not be that comfortable around dogs and may not react in ways when they see dogs, and if they're afraid that the dogs might be used to. It's also an issue at Jervois Street, and I'll let a co-counsel from Mother Ward talk about that. So this makes sure that we will not preclude assistance dogs, prescribed assistance dogs, but we'll make sure that if people want to exercise their dogs, they can do it on the vast field just outside there.
Is that seconded? Councillor Masika, wish to speak?
Through the Chair, I would like to second the motion that is it. It is an issue which has come to my attention through my electorate. So it is well said by Justin, and I support that one.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against? Question, Councillor Crossan?
So just, I'm a little bit confused. So for some of these playgrounds, how can you have a dog off leash legally within 5 metres? Because our current bylaws prohibit it. So why are dogs off leash allowed within 5 metres?
Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, the bylaw requires dogs to be on leash within 5 metres of a playground.
But the motion is that the dogs are off leash within a playground. Well, that's what's inferred.
Through the Chair, so the motion is around declaring Hendry Street and Jervois Street as dog-free areas, because at the moment dogs can go into that fenced area on a leash.
I think I was just listening to the comments that dogs were off a leash, so basically the motion is to disallow dogs on leash in playgrounds as well.
What it's saying is that there should be a fence, and once the fence is up, outside the fence it will be a dog off leash area. That means dogs are allowed but off the leash, doesn't it, Ms Dixon?
Through the Chair, so currently with Council's bylaw, when dogs are near playgrounds within 5 metres, they need to be on the lead, but what we're proposing in this resolution that the Hendry Street and Jervois Street within that fenced area are designated as dog-free areas.
So dog-free, no dogs, within the fenced areas, and outside the fenced areas, dogs can be allowed and off leash. Is that right? Ms Dixon's agreeing with that? Yeah. All right, so clear. Then we have moved and seconded. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. So we turn a few pages. Abandoned trolleys, Councillor Valescu.
Yes, so we ran a campaign on this. There was no real sort of buy-in from what I'm aware of from the people who own the trolleys. So I think we look at what penalties we can impose on the owners of trolleys which are left abandoned in the streets, and also the impact of those potential penalties. So all it is asking for a report just to investigate the issue. It is a problem around areas in my ward, in the neighbouring wards where there are shopping centres. The trolleys do find themselves in the street, and I've heard from residents that the shopping centres are, that the shops are really ambivalent about the issue. So this might get a bit of real action on the matter.
I might say from my point of view, probably like others, I've had questions, well, what are you doing about those trolleys? And last year we organised a trolley summit. Councillor Hull was quite active on the issue. There was a lot of publicity to ask members of the public to be more responsible with trolleys. But at the end of the day, if there's not going to be a technological fix, and there are some costly but effective means of restricting access to trolleys or encouraging people to come back and put them back for the $2 or whatever, if that's not going to be done, then unless we're going to have inspectors bail people up in the street if they leave a trolley outside their home on the footpath after they've done the shopping, the only other means is looking at the owners. What I'm worried about, I suppose, and the only bit here that I am really fit to comment on, is the credibility of council once we've said we're going to do something about trolleys. We've done the publicity, we've had the summit, Talkfest, but what are we doing about it? We actually haven't done anything since then that I'm aware of. So that's why Councillor Valescu's, I think, brought this motion. Is that seconded? Councillor Hull, thank you.
Mr. Mayor, in seconding this, look, you know, you mentioned a talk fest. I've already raised this since the election. You know, what, you know, all the hoo-ha just before the election, was that just about the election?
We did what we could of a genuine community concern.
That since the election, that the issue has been forgotten, and the energy that was installed into that concern has just dropped away, and now we've got shopping trolleys. And I've raised this before. You've heard me. Shopping trolleys back to the same level they were before we actually had the so-called summit and the campaign. Now, you know, all I'm asking for is that we actually, you know, transgress our campaign beyond a council election. That's all I'm suggesting. I'm happy to support this as well, because there is going to be a section of our community that are not going to take any notice of education. It's a bit like what Councillor Crosland does every day. You have to actually have enforcement. And it's not hard to do. All our council officers have got to do is sit on the perimeter of Westfield Marion and watch them going across Sturt Road, Morford Road, or Diagonal Road, and there's your perpetrator. Because, you know, they've got no intentions of going back with the trolley. Or it might be somewhere around Edwardstown Shopping Centre as well. It's not Westfield, essentially. I guess by seconding this, I have to ask the question, why have we dropped the ball? Why have we dropped the ball on this when we had so much energy just before the election, plenty of TV cameras and, you know, media coverage, and then since that, it hasn't translated into action?
If I can answer that question, Councillor Hull, and administration may want to add to that, but the timing of when it came up last year had nothing to do with the election. It actually came up, as I understand it, as a result of your agitation, Councillor Hull, but many, many of the elected members were aware of the issue, and it's a very annoying, persistent, low-level issue that had to be addressed. So that led to us doing the first step, which was to get everyone together, including those who are associated with the technology of trolleys and trolley retention, as well as owners, as well as residents, as well as people who are blind, etc. So that had to be done. It was appropriate to do that. I think it's a bit unfair to say that the ball's been dropped. It's just that one of the key recommendations that came out of that summit was that the major retailers were meant to be talking to each other about a solution. And that was because it was raised at the summit that if one of them did something spending money to facilitate trolley retention, they perceived they'd be at a commercial disadvantage against others who were able to get away with merry hell, basically. So they thought they should do something together. It was reasonable to allow a certain amount of time for that, but that time is probably up, and therefore some sort of action, whether it comes from you or Councillor Valescu or the Mayor or someone else, is timely.
To be fair, Alderman Clem Senior went through this. Councillor Carol Bowens went through this. It didn't need you to have a summit to come up with some time frame. It had already been proven that that does not work.
I understand the combative nature of your comment, Councillor Hull, but the fact is that before proceeding to steps of penalising people, it was probably worthwhile to have a publicity campaign and a collaborative talk. Now, if that hasn't worked, it's time to go to the next step, and that's what this motion is about.
Why haven't the staff been going around collecting like you organised before the election stunt, before the last council election? Why haven't you continued that?
Well, I don't know. Administration want to argue, answer that?
Through the Chair, should Council endorse this motion in the report, we can provide an update of what action and activities have been undertaken since the summit by staff.
A sea of shopping trolleys in the depot down there.
I think your time might be up, Councillor Hull. At least in respect of your contribution to this debate. Anyone speaking against? Councillor Telford's got a question.
In the report to include the new technology that's used all over the world of a chip that allows the trolley to go 50 metres and stop.
Well, this is one of the things. There were many technological suggestions that were made at the summit last year. The problem is that unless there's a stick to apply to the major retailers who own the trolleys, it seems that they won't invest money on these measures to facilitate trolley retention. Now, there was an exception. I believe Aldi has a system that is effective, although having said that, there are Aldi trolleys out on the street as well, but probably not as much as many of the other retailers. So all of these things, there are numerous possibilities for trolley retention with technology, Councillor Telfer, you're quite right. But what is going to make the major retailers implement them? That seems to be the question, and that seems to be underpinning the motion. Anything further, Councillor Telfer? If there are no speakers against, then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Final motion for the night. Revitalisation forum concerning Edwardstown and Melrose Park. Background, well, I'll let Councillor Pfeiffer explain that. Go for it.
Thank you, Your Worship. This has come about from a couple of conversations between myself, Councillor Masika, the Mayor and staff now. Members, for those of you who aren't familiar, we do have an economic workhorse within the boundaries of the City of Marion, which is the old industrial area in Edwardstown, in the back box of Edwardstown. Now, the area is full of burnouts on the streets, it's full of cracked footpaths, but it's also full of a very, very large economic area that employs a hell of a lot of people from the City of Marion and actually churns out a lot of product back out into the Adelaide and broader economy as well. It's not sexy. It's not. It's not Tonsley. It's not. It's not. It doesn't have, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of bureaucrats, you know, hanging off of every last street corner. It's not Tonsley. It doesn't. You know, we don't have forums on top of forums about talking about stuff like we do with Tonsley. But you know what? It is the area that does do a lot of the heavy lifting. It's got the crash repairers. It's got the engineering businesses. It's got the hydraulics businesses. It's got the auto parts manufacturers and resellers. It's got the working horse of our area. Look, it's the way this came together was a few different conversations. Firstly, discussions about the future of South Road and what's going to happen there. Also discussions about opportunities that were missed by Tonsley, businesses that have been rejected by Tonsley because they didn't fit the Tonsley criteria. And where do they go? No one knows. They just disappeared. And so, you know, looking at what, in terms of that industrial side of things, what can we capture within our council area? Don't forget these guys, these industrial businesses, or at least their landlords, are spending, you know, 1.8 of the residential council rate for their rates in their areas. Look, this is, I was pleased to see my words actually repeated back to me in the staff comments here about access, activation and amenity. Access is really about ensuring that we have good quality access, transportation access now and into the future to this area. When there's a South Road solution that comes up, we need to make sure that this area is actually plugged into it, otherwise it's going to get forgotten and it's going to die and there's going to be a lot more burnouts and broken footpaths in there. Activation, ensuring that local economy can be what it needs to be, and that we are supporting it in an appropriate way, not picking winners, but supporting it in an appropriate way. And amenity, again, fixing the broken footpaths, making sure that for businesses that actually have clientele visiting them, that it is an attractive prospect and it does actually attract people in. Look, I don't like to quote other politicians, but and certainly not Ronald Reagan, but he did say that the nine most terrifying words in the English language are that I'm from the government and that I'm here to help. And I think that we do have to be careful in anything that we're proposing in terms of a forum for businesses to come together. You know, we're not picking winners here. We're not picking winners. We're trying to bring people together, understand what this local area can be in the future, what we can possibly, maybe, do to support, how we can advocate to state and federal government, and how we can make sure that it continues to employ those local people from this area now and into the future.
I'll let you finish that final sentence that went on for a minute and a half. Is that seconded? Councillor Masika, go ahead.
Your Worship, I'd like to second the motion it is in, and the way the Councillor Pfeiffer has explained it, without further explanation.
Well, I appreciate your conciseness at this late hour. Anyone question, Councillor Hull?
Can, with the mover and seconder's permission, can we actually add that we also invite the Southern Economic Development Board to be part of that forum as well?
Well, there's already a long list of stakeholders and I think they're already on it. But, well, it's not doing any harm. Yeah. So the mover and seconder are happy for that. Southern Adelaide, that's it. Economic. Rightio, so it's been moved and seconded with that accepted change. Anyone speaking against? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you very much. And I declare the meeting closed.